Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another hope made of
another show. Well, it seems that new shows, or new versions of old shows, are opening almost every night now as we approach the deadline for Tony nominations. I recently saw one that will surely rack up a few. The other production I just experienced, and that's the right way to say it, is off-Broadway at a gorgeously restored and highly flexible military facility, which has become one of the city's go-to venues for unconventional works. Well, I think it's fair to say that the two most anticipated musical revivals this season are My Fair Lady and Carousel. The former is already selling out most performances as we speak. It hasn't even officially opened. But Lerner and Lowe's melodic take on Pygmalion is a favorite of many, and it is at Lincoln Center, whose loyal subscribers pretty much come out for everything. Now, Carousel, on the other hand, which is playing at the Imperial in Times Square, is a Rodgers and Hammerstein chestnut and challenge. It was last done on Broadway more than 20 years ago. The show has its sunny, beautiful, and even hopeful elements, but it is dark and not always so easy to love, which is perhaps why reduced tickets are listed so far anyway for almost every performance. It's not necessarily for lack of star power. Jesse Mueller is the mill worker Julie Jordan. She won the Tony for portraying Carol King and also kept Waitress going strong for its first year. Renee Fleming, most likely, is the other attraction. Fleming has been making the gradual move from opera to other mediums, and, well, it's no surprise that she can belt out You'll Never Walk Alone with the best of them. The most interesting and, dare I say, audacious casting in these PC times is that of the pivotal role of the sexy but hot-headed carnival barker Billy Bigelow. He is being played very well by Joshua Henry. I say audacious in that he is black, Julie Jordan is white, and Billy is a violent man. "Billy hit me last night," Julie confesses to her friend Carrie. "Did you hit him back?" comes a quick, almost defiant response. You can almost sense a "me too, you go girl" relief in the audience. But let me say, I don't think the racial factor will be an issue here. It's made clear right up front that Billy is simultaneously attractive and hazardous to women. While Joshua Henry does nothing to soften or endear him, lines like "you wouldn't marry anyone like me, would you?" may take on double meanings here. Well, so be it. If you are Carousel fans, this is a satisfying 2 hours and 45 minutes, extremely well performed. Besides the three leads, there's delightful work by Lindsay Mendez in the infectious role of Carrie. And one of my favorite actors, John Douglas Thompson, portrays the ever-present, mostly silent figure watching all the action from the place the lucky ones go when they die. The direction is by Jack O'Brien. Now, what may stand out most of all is the choreography by New York City Ballet's young star, Justin Peck, and there is a lot of it. It's mostly original, not a replica of the original production, which was choreographed by Agnes DeMille. Peck's work is both beautiful. There is the famous solo ballet near the end, when a father looks down upon the daughter he never knew. And it's often very masculine. If you've seen the film Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, you'll know what I mean. What is easy to appreciate is the music. A few of the other songs include "Will I Marry Mr. Snow?", "If I Loved You," "June is Busting Out All Over," and then there's the monologue that surely every future male musical performer has tackled, Billy Bigelow's soliloquy. I don't think Carousel is a show you can learn to love. Its story is slight in terms of plot, but it is heavy on the subject of death and dying and how we want to be remembered. If you could go back for one day, what would you do? Well, should you ride this carousel? Damn right. Meanwhile, Yerma, based on a Federico Garcia Lorca story, continues a successful limited run at the Park Avenue Armory. That space never fails to amaze me. It has housed unusual art exhibitions, one of the bloodiest Macbeths in memory, and now this rather harrowing, always mysterious one. It splits the audience in half around a stage area that is glassed in. Cage is probably the operative word, as a childless couple at its center likely feels that way in what the husband calls the safest suburb in London. Now, speaking of dark, this production makes Carousel feel like Mary Poppins. If stories dealing with children are not your thing, this probably isn't for you. If you can pass that hurdle, it is 110 highly intense moments, featuring the hot British actress Billy Piper, who won every award imaginable for the same show in London. Piper actually started out as a teen musical star over there, but now she is the rage of all mediums, and this is certainly a tour de force performance. The original Spanish tale has been totally altered and updated by director Simon Stone. Piper plays an editor, a woman who has controlled everything in her life, but well, she can't control her infertility. "I am not my reproductive system," she claims. What feels most contemporary here, besides the talk about blogging and Ubers, is how the issue of motherhood, or lack thereof, continues to play a role in women's identity. While there is perhaps a moment or two of humor in this one, Yrma is pretty relentless, loud, profane, and frankly repetitive, but yes, always compelling. And it has found the perfect home. The Park Avenue Armory is always welcoming to the way, way out there, the stuff you won't see on Broadway. Well, suffice to say, I am ready for something light and frothy, and, well, the jukeboxes are coming back. Donna Summer, the Go-Go's, and Cher, among others, will soon be the subject of those musicals. And so, Jill, get out your dancing shoes.
I think that's a good balance. We can do serious, you know, use your brain stuff or, drama.
Yeah.
And then you can do froth and entertainment. I will be, I'll be struck to see the mix. When does My Fair Lady open?
I think it opens next week.
Right.
And very long preview process.
Well, not to mention the fact that because of the weather, at least in my opinion, it doesn't feel like spring Tony cutoff at all, even though we are fast approaching the middle.
Yep.
It's got to be 15 days away, give or take, from the taping of this show. And
exactly.
And who would know it? Because it was snowing here yesterday, et cetera. It's just, it just hasn't taken hold. There are two totally different feelings that have always, existed in my little universe. It's the feeling of the fall season starting and the feeling of the spring, what's going to take you out just before Tony nominations. And
exactly. It does not feel like spring is busting all out.
Or June, so. Even. Yeah.
Not even June. Not even close. So you're right. And I don't know if that's keeping box offices quieter. It seems like the shows are doing well. I'm going to see one today, Lobby Hero, another revival, a drama. And I'm curious to see, I always go by the ticket booth marquees to see what's going for half price. It's just interesting for me. So I'll get a sense of that. But I'll tell you, My Fair Lady is not going to be on that list.
No. Do you like going to previews?
No.
I'm just curious. This is an inside basebally question. But
it is because they, to be honest,
they change.
Yeah, they can change, though not as much as you think. But also, reviewers, theoretically, those of us who report on the theater, are really not supposed to. We certainly are not supposed to report on the shows until they've opened. And usually I don't go early unless there's some compelling reason. I'm going to be out of town, for the press show, whatever. No, but theoretically they are, you'll see the writers or you'll see the directors in the back of, when I went to Carousel, I saw Scott Rudin standing in the back. He's the producer, one of the producers. And they're taking notes. They're, you know, they're picking up when the audience looks like it's getting a little drowsy, when things, they're picking up the pace. I don't think they're doing a lot of rewriting. I don't think you can rewrite Carousel or My Fair Lady. But, you know, Tony Kushner apparently was playing a little bit with the angels right up until the end. But it's mostly, I think, just watching an audience pacing.
Well, isn't that, I was going to make it a declarative, but I'll make it a question instead. Isn't that part of the whole magic that goes into making a show? You know, it's just figuring out what works. I've always found that things that look superior on paper often don't make the leap.
Oh, my God. I've been to so many readings, and that's exactly true. Things that, God, looked great on, you know, or maybe even sounded great when you were doing the first reading around a table. But, boy, you do it in front of your first audience, even for these small workshops. Where are they laughing? Where aren't they laughing? What didn't they get? Where do they get lost? What isn't clear enough? It's mostly about clarity. That's what playwrights will say. What isn't clear to an audience? And they want to know that. And that is what makes it exciting. Look, in the old days, all these shows went out of town, you know, and had these long tryouts. Some of them still do.
The internet, we can thank them or not for the out-of-town tryout thing. But I remember with Seussical in the beginning of the internet, you know, it was just such a terrible use of the tryout phase. Because, you know, we don't really, the purpose of a tryout, we don't really want your opinion until after it's tried out. Thank you all very much indeed.
Absolutely. You know, bad buzz can get in the way and hurt a show all the way to the end. But things are done in, certainly new shows. In tryouts, Stephen Sondheim wrote Send in the Clowns in one night because they thought, she needs a song right here. And he whipped that up overnight, arguably the most famous song he ever wrote. So a lot of things can happen with new shows. Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to think of it, this seems to be a season very heavy on revivals, heavier than any in memory, 13 or 14 revivals. So there's not a lot of, like I said, you can't do a lot of rewriting, but you can certainly do reimagining, and that's what's happening. Listen, the more imagination, the better.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.